the most incredible thing that running and running long distances has brought into my life is it's really helped me understand who I am and how I deal with everything, you know, every situation. A big part of consistency is setting yourself up to accomplish something and then watching it grow from there.
Welcome to the Trailhead of Trail Runner Nation, where we go on virtual trail runs with interesting guests that teach us a little bit more about trail running, help us become better runners, better trail runners, enjoy the trail, find joy in trail running, and maybe even in life. If you haven't joined us before, welcome. Lace up your shoes. We're getting ready to run with who, Don, today?
Today, we're running with Adam Kimball. And sometimes, Scott, sometimes we come up with topics because we think maybe others will want to listen. But selfishly, I think this one was for you and I. It's on consistency. We are super happy to have our partner, Path Projects. They've been with us for years, and we've been with them for years, too.
I have been wearing, sorry to admit, the new Wheeler FT 9-inch short. I probably had these on for about 3 days now. They are that comfortable and that functional. They have kind of an elastic waistband that kind of stretches. I need that stretch now.
Hey, but these aren't running shorts. These are casual everyday shorts. Isn't that right, Scott?
You can wear them casual. They absolutely look great out on the town. But if you get a hair and you say, I want to go running, boy, there's no reason why you can't go running in them, because the four pockets in these shorts all have zippers. And if I think back to a recent trip that I did where I got my phone pickpocketed, boy, those zippered pockets could have saved me from buying a new phone.
So if you don't have a pair, get online, check it out, because that's how you buy Path Projects. No middleman. Go onto their website, check it out. It's like owning your own running store.
Go to pathprojects.com.
Hey, Scott, you know, there's a lot of things in life that stink. Inflation, gas prices. I could go on and on, but you know what doesn't have to stink?
You, as a trail runner. Native is a great partner to have if you're a trail runner, because they make shampoo, they make deodorants, they make sunscreen, they make body wash. It makes you clean, shiny, and smelling fresh.
And you've got to feel good when you go out there and want to perform well.
Here's what you need to know on why Native is different. It is aluminum free. Why would you put aluminum under your arms? I don't know. It's not good for you. They use all natural good products that are good for you, and they last long, and they make you smell great.
They have fantastic scents. My favorite is eucalyptus and mint. It's my go-to. I just love it.
I don't think I've used a different deodorant in probably about 3 or 4 years that we've been working for them. By going to nativedeo.com/TRN, which is nativedeo.com/TRN, or you can just go to nativedeo.com, enter the code TRN, and you can get 20% off your first order.
Thanks for joining another edition of Trail Runner Nation. I'm Don Freeman.
And I'm Scott War, and today we're with Adam Kimball again. He's been on our podcast multiple times. We always enjoy talking to Adam. Adam, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
If you don't know who Adam is, boy, he is a multi-talented athlete. He is a Division I college baseball player. He won the famous Price is Right. I love to throw that one in there. Price is Right is a game show, a TV game show Bob Barker hosted for many, many years. And Adam won the Showcase Showdown and won a car. And I love that. You can go on Google and you can Google that. And I've actually seen the video of Adam winning the Price is Right. I love it. He has a lot of really good things in his resume. He broke Killian Jornet's fastest known time around the Tahoe Rim Trail. How many miles is that?
172.
272 miles around Lake Tahoe here in Northern California, Nevada. He is a winner of 2 self-supported multi-stage races. He broke the FKT in 2017, running the length of Great Britain with his friend Chris King. He's getting ready to toe the line at Western States coming up in June. And today we have a really good topic. Adam is also a coach. And so in addition to his own personal training and running, he also coaches people, which brings a unique perspective. And today we're going to talk about consistency. As many of us are now into the early summer months of the year, trying to build base, which we have a podcast coming up in Training Principles that's going to be airing here in a couple weeks. We think that consistency is a key in training. Adam, why is consistency so important?
Yeah, Scott, I've just noticed that over time, both for myself personally as an athlete and for the many athletes that I coach, just kind of analyzing the data and the various training blocks over the years, I think a lot of times I have the tendency to think when I'm in a training block, if I'm hitting big workouts or feeling fast or doing things like that, that that is the most important thing. But upon reflection, whenever I look at the times when I really executed everything, whether it was the, you know, the best workout I had or not so good, just getting out and doing all the workouts and being consistent with my volume, with my intensity, all those kind of things. When I would look back at that data, I would realize that those were the times that translated to my best performances. And so it's just a matter of, for me personally, recognizing that it's not, I think my default is sort of like, oh, am I feeling really fast? Am I feeling super fit? All these things. And that stuff is great. But more important for me and for many of my athletes has been showing up every day and having that consistency throughout training as opposed to a great workout here or there.
I'll tell you one area that I really try to practice consistency, and that's when I fall out of shape and I just don't feel like getting out there, and what used to be easy is now hard. And, you know, I'm going through clothes that I used to wear because I was a little bit heavier, and I'm in those stages. That's when I really need to practice consistency, because I know, just with blind faith, if I go out there and I just keep putting the work in and I keep showing up, all of a sudden one day, bang, it all comes. It's like, whoa, this got a little bit easier. But it took many, many, many efforts before I arrived there. And you just have to just keep going and just keep your head down and keep checking the calendar, saying another one in, and you just keep working at it and you'll get there. And that's what I love about consistency. You just put the work in.
Hey, Don, for people that haven't listened to our full category of podcast episodes, relate your little metaphor story about the puddle of water. That's a great visual.
You know what I think is good, Scott? Since you tell it so many times and you tell it different every time, I don't think people have really tired of it because they don't hear it all the time. So let me give it a shot.
Let's hear it from you.
I'll give you an original one. There's a hole and it's filled with water. And you take your shovel full of clean gravel and you shovel it into that hole. And you have to shovel depending on the depth of the hole, and you just keep shoveling the rock in there. Rock never shows up. And all of a sudden, you take another shovel full and you throw it into the water hole there, and the gravel sits on the top. And it doesn't matter if you take a heaping shovel full or a half a shovel full. It all counts.
Right.
It all adds up. And finally, when it surfaces, it didn't matter how many shovelfuls or how big the shovelfuls were. It's just they were shovels full that needed to get there. And that's what training is. And that's consistency. And that's getting out there and doing the work, putting another shovel full of clean gravel into that mud hole.
We're going to have Ryan create a GIF of that story and just have you repeat the number of times you said shovel full.
How many times did I say it?
Oh, probably about 20.
If we have a good editor, you'll only hear three. Heaping shovel full. It didn't matter how many shovelfuls. It's just they were shovels full.
Yeah, Don, I think that's a great point. One of the important things to remember about the value of consistency is just that the results don't necessarily come until months or sometimes even years later, right? So you might be thinking, where are the fruits of my labor? And then, like you said, all of a sudden, maybe it's one day, maybe it's over the course of a period of time, you're like, whoa, it's happening now. And I think, you know, a lot of times you might have the tendency to see a friend of yours or someone that you know performing well, and you think, wow, you know, what's been happening? And my guess, or I would venture to say, that it's likely that for a longer period of time, they've been doing the right things and being consistent, and it's paying off. It doesn't, you know, it's not a do something for 2 weeks and then you see the result at the end of the month. It's a do something for months, years, and then you see that kind of payoff over time.
Can you recall a time, that aha moment, that all of a sudden that feeling of, ah, It's here. It happened. Have you witnessed that? Have you experienced that? And tell me about the joy, because I that's one of my favorite moments in this whole athletic stuff.
Yeah, for me, I can just think of a handful of times when I've been preparing for a big race where I'll go out on, whether it's a trail I tend to run, you know, fairly frequently, or just a route that I'm familiar with. Mm-hmm. And I'll just have that thought, oh, this feels easy. You know, mm-hmm. that's the light bulb moment. It's like, okay, the fitness is there. The work is paying off. Here we go.
And it's okay to dip down, because if you're going to peak for something, you can't live on the peak. You know, otherwise it's called a plateau, and you never want to be on a plateau. You want to peak at some point. So you have to live below that. And so you have to go through this cycle, and you have to be okay with the cycle, and you have to recognize when you're not on that peak and accept it. And be okay with it, and give yourself a little bit of compassion or sympathy or empathy or something. Some empathy, some something. Give yourself some pat on the back.
Donna, it seems like I'm dogging on you quite a bit, but that was a really good metaphor. Living on the peak. If you can't live on the peak, or that's a plateau. That's beautiful. The plateau and the peak metaphor was brilliant.
Well, this is a guy that can't say sympathy or empathy or find the right word. So, you know, I was peaking when I said that, and now I'm down into a valley trying to go through my vocabulary. So it's all there.
Scott and Don, are you familiar with the term supercompensation, a training term?
No.
No, I want to know. I want to learn.
The boiled down version of it is, in a training block, when you're building up and increasing volume and intensity, you get to a point where if you take a recovery week, then the following week, in an ideal setting, your fitness then grows that following week. So supercompensation is the idea of training hard, giving your body time to recover, and then seeing the gains after that. And that, I think that is illustrated by the analogy you just made.
Hey, let's talk about consistency versus doing the same thing over and over. So as you say, training blocks, I mean, as you as a coach, you design training blocks for your athletes, and some of those blocks you're working up to a point, maybe doing a little bit more speed training or hill climbing or whatever. And then there are some recovery weeks. Let's make no mistake about consistency being the same thing. Going out there every day, running the same pace, running the same route, running the same distance versus these variabilities in training. Talk to us a little bit about that, Adam.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Actually, just yesterday, as you guys know, I was out pacing my friend Jim at the Cocodona 250, which is still going on. And there was a group of guys that we sort of ended up around for a while, and we were sharing some miles with them. And one of the things that we started talking about was, they were asking me some questions as a coach about how I train my athletes and what I look for. And I said, I still think one of the biggest and most valuable things you can do in training is have variety. And so I think that's a great point that you make there, Scott. Consistency is not the same thing as doing the same thing all the time. Consistency is showing up every day, and in an ideal world, doing a lot of different things to make yourself better. So mixing in some speed work or tempo runs, mixing in some hill work, going really easy, you know, running conversational pace with friends, going long, running a fartlek where it's an easy run, but just a few bursts here and there, you know, all those different types of things are really important. And if you continue to do the same thing all the time, as Don said before, similar to trying to stay at the peak all the time, doing the same thing all the time is going to have that same plateau effect.
So there's consistency in showing up, but there's also consistency in variability. You want to keep changing it up. And I think we've talked to some physiologists that say that the body loves variety. And the times when you can throw in different variety, the body responds to that in a very good way physiologically.
Yeah, I think of it as in a really basic way. Maybe this isn't the best way to think about it, but it's how I do. It's like the same way if you're going to the gym, you wouldn't want to be doing bicep curls all the time because all you're doing is working the same muscle groups. If you're doing all sorts of different exercises, you're engaging all the muscles and making your entire body stronger, not just one part of the body. Similarly, when you're changing your pace, you're changing the grade that you're running on, you're changing the terrain you're running on, all those different things are challenging your body in different ways. And it's only going to make you more well-rounded and stronger. And so I think it's important to do that. You know, even if it was, you can look at it from this way, even if you were doing something hard, but all the time, if you were doing just hill works, uphill repeats all the time, that wouldn't be good either, because you'd be, you know, working and continuing to work the same muscle groups all the time. And you wouldn't be allowing yourself a chance to recover and then strengthen the other parts of the body.
I want to throw these two words out there and kind of match them up. And one of the words we've been using is consistency. And I want to pair it with intuition. And I think that when we don't feel like getting out there, or we're procrastinating or dragging our feet or just can't get the mojo to make it happen, I'm going to propose that we might be hearing intuition. It's time to rest. It's time to do something different. It's time to do some cross training, something that motivates you and you become enthusiastic about. It's your own body's way of saying, lay low for a bit. Take it easy on this workout. And what we do mentally is go, oh, I'm weak. I'm a loser. I can't get it done. And you're beating up on yourself when really your intuition is there screaming, we need something different. You need to rest. You need to recover. You can't stay on this spreadsheet of a workout program. Listen to us. And so now you have this conversation. You're weak. I need change. You know, and where do you land? And I usually land with the criticism. Oh, I must be weak. And I don't think that's good.
Well, I want to make sure that you're doing active recovery. Like you said, Don, if you can't get out there to run, if your intuition is saying, you know what, my body is needs to recover from the run, that doesn't mean sleep for an extra half hour. It means maybe you need to do some sit-ups, some push-ups, get on the bike, go for a swim.
I'm going to push back on that, Scott Warr, and I'm going to say maybe you do need to sleep for an extra hour. Maybe your body is saying, and I need rest, to the degree of just laying horizontal. Not to push against your comment, but we've got to really trust ourselves and look at the picture and see how far out of the lines, you know, that activity that you're dreaming up is. It's not eating an apple pie.
Well, then I need to worry about, is it my intuition telling me I need to rest, or the lazy angel on this shoulder telling me you just need to rest because you like sleep better? And so I don't know which voice I'm hearing in my head.
Let's let the coach tell us. Adam, what should we listen to?
You guys just teed me up because this is perfect. what I was going to say is a conversation I have with a lot of my athletes at some point in time is when they need to take an extra rest day or a rest week, whatever it may be, most of them feel pretty guilty and can misconstrue that as laziness. Mm-hmm. When in fact, in a lot of cases, they really need it. Their body needs it. There might be a lot of stress in life. You know, I think we've talked about this before, but I love to tell my athletes that the body doesn't know miles, it knows stress. And you've got to factor in all the things going on in your life, not just the amount of time that you're out running. And so I think over time, you have to develop the ability to delineate between those voices that you were talking about, Scott. But my default is that most of the people in our sport that are challenging themselves in this way are highly motivated people, right? You wouldn't really get into this sport if you weren't a motivated person. So not all the time, but a lot of times I think when someone thinks they might be being lazy, it's actually, as Don said, their body signaling to them, you need some rest. Of course, it's different for each individual person, but in my experience, that's what I tend to see. And it's just funny because I have this conversation relatively frequently with my athletes.
Yeah, I'm into 4 months of sleep now, and I think that's a bit longer.
The Rip Van Winkle method?
The Coach Van Winkle, that's it. Let's talk about some of the tools that we can use to help us be more consistent. As some of you may know, and now all of you know, Adam is not just a coach and an awesome runner, but he's also a co-author of a book called Chasing Twilight, a joy journal for runners. I've never really used a journal, but let's talk about what is the benefit of actually having a journal. And this one specifically is a little bit different. We'll ask you first, how is this different? But is it better to use a journal and write things down versus what a lot of us do, which is just have it automatically recorded in Strava or on our wearable device software?
Adam, there's seven questions there. Pick any of them and you just go with that.
All right. I'm going to go with one of the last ones. I don't know if it was the last one, but for me, guys, I've seen personally a lot of value in utilizing, and actually, you know, the impetus for creating a journal like this with my co-authors, Jim, who is the guy I was pacing at Cocodona right now, he's still out there, and my friend Connor. The reason that we created this journal was we felt like there was a sort of a hole in the marketplace for runners where a lot of running type journals were a lot more of what you just said, just either just recording what happened on the run or other types of journals where it's like, tell me your feelings, right? And we wanted to kind of have something in the middle and then also use our own experiences and our own writing as sort of prompts to maybe get people thinking about certain ideas. And so one thing that I've seen a really big benefit to me of journaling, especially around my running in particular, is it adds a lot of color that I think falls away from just looking at the data, you know? So you, over time, you might have so many workouts where you think, or a training block where you think that went well or that didn't go well. And you kind of see it as one or the other. But when you have a little bit of detail, you know, surrounding the runs throughout that time period, it kind of gives you a lot more insight into what was going on. It's like you might look at something on Strava and say that was a success or that wasn't a success. But then there might be a whole story behind it to say, you know, I actually wasn't feeling great, even though it looked like I ran fast, or I ran slower, but I was intentionally running slower and everything felt really easy. So that was actually a really important run for me, you know? So I think for me, I've seen the detail gives me a lot more insight into the bigger picture of what my training was like, as opposed to just looking at some numbers, which I think can tell part of the story, but certainly don't tell the whole story.
Boy, I like that. I think if you just look at the numbers, you can wrap words around those numbers and make up your own story. But when you actually, when you lay it out with some words and some verbs and some adjectives and nouns and you construct sentences around that data, you bring color to it. So I think that's good.
One of the things, you know, I have a bachelor's degree in recreation management. One of the things that I learned in my upper education was in recreation, when you're out there doing an activity, there's three parts. There's a preparation, there's actually doing the activity, and then there's a reflection period. If you do all three, you can have a wonderful experience. If you're only focused on doing the activity, the experience won't be as memorable or as effective. And I think that maybe, and again, I'm not a journal keeper, and I'm trying to talk myself into this, is maybe if I do a little bit more reflection on each of my runs and take a few minutes to write down how I was feeling, you know, what was my stress level? Did I feel like it was a good run? That maybe that is going to reinforce this consistency topic that we're talking about. It's going to make the whole experience a little bit better.
You know, I think that when you reflect on those comments, Scott, you'll probably be able to direct your training a bit better, because then instead of just looking at numbers to drive your next workout, you'll see other things like, wow, I think I do need to rest, or I do need to go out and do some cross training, or whatever it might be, or maybe I need to do some more speed work, just something. I think that reflection will help plot your next workout and your next training block.
Yeah, another piece to it too, again, speaking personally, and this is something that I drive home with all of my athletes, I say, if at any point during our training you feel like you're no longer having fun, then there's something we're not doing right. Mm. And I think when you can take a little bit of time. And again, it's important to remember when speaking of, you know, journaling about running, you can take 60 seconds even, you know, to just write two sentences, and you don't even have to, but you know, the point is it doesn't have to be this like cumbersome process. It can be a really quick thing. And I think for me, what it's done is added joy to my running because I do a little more introspection about what was happening on the run. You know, it's like, oh, I was out running on the Tahoe Rim Trail and I came across a bear. And when you write about something like that, it just reinforces what a cool opportunity you had. And I think we call it a joy journal for runners, but using Chasing Twilight personally has brought me more joy in just recognizing that what we're doing is fun. It's what I love to do. And I think sometimes I can say for myself, absolutely, at times I have lost, for short periods of time, thankfully, have lost sight of the fact that I'm doing what I love and instead turning it into a chore. And I think this can kind of add a little bit of excitement and allow you to, it's sort of like meditating on the run, right? It's like recognizing mm-hmm. just how cool of an opportunity it is every single day that you get out the door and put your shoes on.
So Adam, you have an athlete that tells you, Adam, I'm just not having fun anymore. I haven't had fun in a month. Seems like it's a grind and it's a chore. And I think if we're all honest with ourselves, and we've done this over any period of time, we've all been there on certain periods. Mm-hmm. How do you coach that athlete? What do you tell them? Do you have any tips for that? And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but we can even think of it collectively here. What can we do if we're listening to this and we find ourselves just not having fun?
Yeah, typically I'll try to ask a few follow-up questions just to find out why it's become that way or why it is that way. You know, sometimes there's a lot of things going on in life and it just feels like I'm trying to squeeze one more thing into an already stressful schedule. Mm. If that's the case, usually my answer is let's take some time away, you know. You run when you have time, when it sounds fun. Otherwise, take care of the other things, and then when you feel motivated to do it again, it will come back on its own. Sometimes it's, I'm training for this race and I'm running it because someone else I know is running it and I'm not really motivated to run it. Then it's, well, why are you running the race? You know, do something that motivates you. That's a big thing with all of my athletes and myself. I want you to tell me what you're excited about, and then we're going to build what we do around that. And so a lot of times I try to get at what's motivating people and also what's happening in their life. And then, you know, sometimes it might just be scaling things back a little bit. Sometimes it might be taking a different approach or just giving someone the permission to say, hey, we're going to be more flexible. Today is an optional, or, you know, 2-3 times a week, we're going to have optional runs where if you have the time, great. If not, take care of your family and get some extra sleep, you know?
Well, I like that answer. You know, we are, for most of us, you know, we're not professional athletes. You know, we are not sleeping in the middle of the day. We're not, you know, waking up to a stretching routine when somebody's doing the stretching for us. But our training programs have us thinking we're professional athletes, or we've written our training program as if we were. Or when we had a little more leisure time and the stress of the world wasn't on top of our shoulders, we had this training plan and it worked last time, so I stick with this. And then we get life coming in and we're trying to implement that spreadsheet of this intense training program. And it's not fun because all you're doing is grinding, trying to get it done. And I think that by you speaking to them and saying, well, what else is going on, to find out whether it's time to you know, reduce the intensity and the volume so that it is fun again. Because it's not fun when there's no room for it. There's not fun when you have to stuff it in there and try to grind it out. When is that ever fun? You know, but so I think it's great that you look into their personal schedule and say, well, what else is going on? Maybe this is time for you to allow yourself, give yourself permission to back off and then catch up and then go at it again when you're ready. So I think that's good.
Yeah. One more quick note on the motivation side of it. You know, some people are training for races or events because they want to hit a specific time or finish in a certain place. And some people just want to do it to complete it and have fun. And I think it's important to take all those factors into consideration, because sometimes you might push somebody a little bit harder or do certain things if there's a very tangible goal that they're trying to get versus, I just want to go out there, have a great time and complete this race. So I think that's part of it too. And one quick example of that, a friend of mine that I've coached in the past, his name is Jeff. A few years ago, he ran the Tahoe 200 and he trained hard, but leading up to it, he told me, I want to go out there and just enjoy myself the whole race. That's my goal. I want to go out there and have a great time. And so that's how we prepared for the race, for him to be able to do that and not to hit a specific time. And then he went out there, he ended up sleeping, you know, throughout the race. He slept, I think, 12 hours, 4 hours, 3 different times. And then he was like 15th overall, you know, and he crossed the finish line, hands in the air, feeling great. And I just always think about that, because I liked that he was very clear about what he wanted out of the race, and he communicated that to me, and then we planned accordingly. And I think that was a big part of it to make that a success for him and make the process fun too.
I wonder if that was because the stress of setting specific goals of finishing a certain time or finishing on the podium or a certain place, if that took the stress away and the body can adapt to the training better when that stress and that monkey isn't on his back. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's totally valid.
I just going to throw this disclaimer in that it's not always fun. It's not always supposed to be fun. But looking back, you can say, you know, that was a lot of fun preparing for that. And yes, there were some hard workouts and I hated that. And it was a grind. And sometimes that's part of the fun is working through the grind and figuring it out and improving so that when you go out there again, that you see the joy of accomplishment and improvement. So it's not always, you know, rainbows and lollipops and unicorns or whatever it is. Sometimes it's hard.
And Don, back to the consistency idea that we've been talking about today. I remember a friend of mine a while back, he was talking about preparing for a big race that meant a lot to him. And he got to the start line, kind of like what you said, when you get to the start line, you know, you put in the work, and he did that. And he said that when he was at the start line, he was reflecting on how much he enjoyed the process of getting there. And I think that's a big part of it too. You know, a lot of times the cool thing about consistency and making that a priority is that, you know, ultimately, if you are preparing for an event, you come to that event day, maybe it goes well, maybe it doesn't, but that doesn't change the fact that you put in the work and had a great journey along the way. Nothing is going to change that. And sometimes we lose sight of that if the race doesn't play out the way we had hoped. But I think it's important to remember that as well. It's that journey is equally important to whatever happens on race day.
And when you go out there on that race day, there's going to be some hard points and some hard spots, especially if you run it right. You're going to push yourself to a point where you find the edge and you've got to push through it. And those are going to be hard. And hard isn't always fun. And you need to find that space and live in that space and work through that space during the process of preparation. You don't want the first hard thing to be the race day. That's not good. You need to embrace the hard thing and say, okay, now let's take this apart. How am I going to get through this? What did I do wrong? What do I need to do to recover? Those are the hard days of training, and those are some of the most beneficial. So embrace those hard days, work through them, and they can come early. They can come at mile 5 on a 20-mile run. They can come at any time because they come at any time on real races. So it's a real good thing to have a hard day. We're talking about consistency, but you know what you really need besides just consistency? You've got to have the right stuff in the body.
When you do what you love, like running, like all of us, you want to do it for life. Inside Tracker can help.
Inside Tracker was founded in 2009 by leading scientists in aging, genetics, and biometrics.
What's different about Inside Tracker is they use a patented algorithm that analyzes your body's data to provide you with a clear picture of what's going on inside. The next step, which I think a lot of people miss, is they create a science-backed recommendation for positive diet and lifestyle changes.
And to make it easy, they can connect to your Garmin, your Fitbit, and now they can even connect to your Apple Watch for real-time exercise, resting heart rate, and sleep data.
You can get 20% off as a Trail Runner Nation member by going to insidetracker.com/TRN.
Now let's get back to that consistency, Scott.
One of the things I want to share with you guys, I think I may have shared this with Don on a run, but one of the things that I learned recently about consistency is the last 2 years during COVID, I was working with a coach and we had a schedule where I would run Monday, Tuesday, do some cross training on Wednesday, and then run Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then take Sunday off. Sunday was a rest day. Going through this worked pretty good with my work schedule, family schedule, but inevitably I knew that Wednesday was not a run day and Tuesday would come around and life would explode. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to shift my Tuesday workout to Wednesday and take Tuesday off and run Wednesday. So I was kind of shifting that day, that midweek day off. And more times than not, I ended up not doing it on Wednesday. And so I was missing 2 days a week. And when I shifted to saying, no, you're going to run every day, Monday through Saturday. Sunday's my rest day, but Monday through Saturday, you got to run every day. But Wednesday or Tuesday or Thursday were a light, light workout. Maybe it was just a 3 mile easy jog. Once I committed to that, I actually became more consistent. If I had that little free space on the bingo card that I could move around, I ended up moving it around, but not filling back in and losing the consistency. I just wanted to share that with you. That was kind of an aha, that by saying, no, my goal is to run every single day, except for my rest day on Sunday.
You know what that makes me think of, Scott, is going back to our conversation we had about the book Atomic Habits a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I'm noticing out of that little anecdote is that you made the 6 days a week a little more accessible for you by giving yourself permission to make a workout a little easier or lighter on a day or two. And just like with creating habits, you got to do those things that allow you to start doing it consistently, and then it becomes a habit, and then it's second nature. We were talking before about speed work and how sometimes people get really intimidated by that. But a lot of times, if you just get out and start the workout, maybe you don't have a really awesome workout, but maybe you push yourself a little harder than you would have otherwise, or at least you got out the door and you got something done, right? And I think a big part of consistency is setting yourself up to accomplish something and then watching it grow from there.
The habit of preparing for the run, if it was happening those 6 days in a row, it inevitably happened. I had the habit of getting up at relatively the same time, putting on the shoes, putting on the shorts, driving to the trailhead and doing it. Even if it was, a short 2 or 3 mile easy jog, I still had to do the preparation things so that when Thursday comes around and that's a hard, hard workout, I'm still doing the prep things and I'm less likely to hit the snooze button.
I remember we spoke to a runner and I'd have to hit myself in the head a few times to have the name bounce back out. But he talked about having confidence in his nutrition. I knew I had the last 20 miles, I needed to be on a certain pace to be able to place where I wanted to place. And I knew my nutrition was there. I trusted it.
Mm.
And I knew if I just keep putting it in, that it would be there for me. It would stand by me and I would get the race done and I'd have the strength. And I thought, how cool to have confidence in your nutrition that's in your pocket. And then we started talking about this before the podcast. Our best podcast was before we hit record. And we were talking about Adam showing up to Western States in a couple of weeks here and being ready. And we talked about consistency in your training, that when you put your bib on, you're standing there towing the line and you know you're going to go through some struggles through there. It's just the nature of 100 miles through the hot canyons and running through the day and maybe into some twilight. For Adam, for the rest of us, running through the night, having confidence in your training, knowing that you were consistent, knowing that you didn't miss any days, knowing that you showed up doing all the work, your deposits were made, it's all there for you. The hay's in the barn, like the old saying is, nothing more to do now, I've done it. So no matter what you come across during that race, this is hard, I'm starting to feel like I'm getting a cramp, whatever it might be, where you get this negative talk going in your head, you can always put that fire out with, I've done my work, I've done the training, I was good to myself, I was true to my goal, we'll get through this. Having confidence in that runner's nutrition and having confidence in your training. Don't go into the thing leaving something to still be able to pack that. You want to bring everything with you to your big race.
You just made me think of another analogy there, Don. I think as you said that, you painted a beautiful picture, by the way. But as you said that, I think consistency makes me think of, running is inherently an individual sport, though obviously crews and support teams make everything possible, especially at those longer distances. But it's funny, as you were saying that, I was thinking that consistency of knowing that you showed up and did everything that you could to put yourself in a good position on race day, that's like your silent teammate that's there mm-hmm. with you the whole way. It's like you're playing a team sport with someone that you can't see, but you know is there supporting you. And it's like you said, it gives you the confidence to know that you can handle whatever comes your way on race day.
Well, I like that. You know, that's the variable, the confidence that you're carrying around, the swagger that you have. You don't have to show it, you know, but you can feel it. And you know you've got it, all your tools with you that you need, and that no matter what, you're ready. And the vehicle that you're in today is a vehicle that's ready to travel. And it's because you built it over time.
Hey, Adam, how do you define consistency? Is it running every day or doing a workout every day, or is it twice a week? How do you define consistency?
Yeah, again, I think that's something that's an individual thing. I think everybody sort of has to define that for themselves, because it's not a blanket thing where, you know, twice a week makes you consistent. For somebody, absolutely twice a week does. For somebody that's got a bigger capacity to take on more, you know, maybe it's 4, 5, 6 days a week. But for me, I think it's understanding, and I guess this kind of goes into the whole theme of consistency, it's understanding what you've done in the past and how you've grown as an athlete and as a runner, and sort of taking all that into consideration and then building from there. So we all, unless we're a brand new runner, a lot of us, you know, have been doing this for many months, years, whatever it may be. And over time, you've sort of established what you can handle. As Don said earlier, you've pushed your limits both in training and on race day. And for me, I've been able to figure out for myself and for, you know, athletes that I've coached, especially those that I've worked with for many years, I've been able to figure out where that consistency lies. And you know, there's a difference between being consistent and being lazy, and being consistent and overtraining. You know, you got to find that sweet spot where you're really pushing yourself and doing everything you can, but also being smart. Because I think in addition to being consistent with the actual training that you're doing, I think you have to be consistent with good decision making too, which means if you need an extra day off sometime, if you were going to run a race, you know, like we talked about American River, where earlier this, you know, in April, I was going to run a 50 miler, but I had been dealing with a few things and I knew my body wasn't quite prepared for that. I think a previous version of me would have towed the line and just said, let's gamble and see what happens. But I've learned over time that it's better to trust those, that intuition that we talked about earlier, and those instincts, and say, you know, I've got to be consistent with my decision making and being smart about my training as well. So that was a pretty convoluted answer, Scott. I'm sorry for that, but I think it is different for everybody.
You know, we've talked now for the majority of this episode on the importance of consistency, the importance of intuition and listening to your body. I know for myself that I've had different times in my life where I have not been consistent in my running. I'm sure that I'm assuming that you both also have had times in your life where you haven't been as consistent as you had hoped. What are some of the strategies, and then we'll go around the horn, what are some of the strategies that you two use to be consistent? Or let's say that you're in that spot right now where you're not as consistent as you would hope. What are some tips and tricks that the listeners can use to maybe gamify or help them become more consistent?
Well, I'll start, Adam, because I'm digging out of the hole right now, and I can tell you firsthand that finding a running partner. I'm back in town. Scott's just up the road now from me, and Bob Crowley, two guys that I just love running with and miss running with them. And I was having some struggles when I was just by myself in some other area. And now I feel like this is the best thing that's happened. Now I have my accountability partners right there. And when I wanted to kind of, you know, back off and, you know, walk a section, they're not walking because they're still in shape. And so now I've got to keep up. And they have been a great piece for my consistency, just having a running partner, accountability partner, and someone to pass the miles with that. All of a sudden that 2-hour run felt like what used to take a half hour. You know, I mean, it's just a lot of joy being out there with them. So I find a partner.
Yeah, I second that. Finding accountability, whether that's through someone you're running with, not that everybody needs a coach, but you know, I can speak from my experience. Several of the athletes that I coach have told me more than once that one of the biggest things that they get from having me as a coach is that they have the accountability of somebody saying, here's what you got to do. And then they feel that, okay, all right, we got to get out there and do it now, you know? And not everybody needs that or wants that, but I think it can be a good thing if you need a little extra push from time to time. For me, I think sometimes when I've fallen into inconsistency, it's been at times when I've had a whole bunch of other life stuff going on. And for me, I've realized that personally, the best way to combat that is to run first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. If I'm doing that, then all the other stuff that happens throughout the day can happen. And I'm not, you know, sitting there at 7 p.m. feeling tired from everything that's happened throughout the day and trying to convince myself to get outside the door. So structuring the day, I think, has been a big thing for me. But yeah, accountability and setting yourself up for success, whatever that means for you.
How about you, Scott?
And well, actually, Don and I were just talking about that not too long ago when he had an office and had regular office hours. Our regular running time was a 4:45 in the morning pickup. I'd stop by his house at 4:45. He'd pick us up and we'd be done with our run by 7:30. And so he had enough time to get to the office by 8. And everybody can get up early and get their run in. It may be hard for the first week or so, but eventually you adapt to that. And I have to remember that. A lot of times now I think if I have meetings that start at 9 o'clock and I didn't get my run in because normally I start at 7 and so I can't get it in before 9, all of a sudden, poop, that run disappears for the day. Well, why didn't I get up at 5? Why didn't I get up at 6 and do the run? So I think you're right on the money. I need to implement that in my life more. It's just say, there's sleeping hours early in the morning that I could substitute for my run and become more consistent. So I really appreciate that, Adam. Thanks for reminding me about that.
Yeah, no, you know, I have to remind myself of that too. And it's funny, Scott, before I was a professional ultra runner, I worked for an event company when I was living in Chicago. And we would sometimes go out and put on events where you'd be on location for a week at a time. And it was a lot of them, it was like you were on your feet all day, doing stuff all day, very tiring. And I just knew when I was doing that, if I wanted to run 100%, it had to happen in the morning or it wasn't going to happen. And so, you know, sometimes you just got to do whatever it takes to fit it into the schedule and make sure that it doesn't, you know, it's the whole priority thing. You know, you got to start with the things that you absolutely want to get done and then kind of go from there. And so if running's a big priority, you know, put it before something else that might tire you out.
Right, right.
We've talked a lot about consistency, but I want to throw this one out there. And I wrote this down, so I'm going to try to make it sound like it makes sense. Don't sabotage yourself trying to stay consistent. If you just keep pushing yourself out there and pushing yourself out there to get things done, you can actually decrease your fitness or create an injury or burn yourself out or just not have fun anymore. Don't sabotage yourself and ruin a race that's coming up or a season. You know, take a step back and do something a little easier, a little lighter, a little more fun. Maybe pick up basketball game. You're still burning calories. Do something, but don't sabotage yourself by doing something extremely hot and hard for 3 days in a row just because you want to have everything packed into that confidence bag. Sometimes it's better to run a little light.
Yeah, I've always felt like I think we've actually talked about this before, but I've always felt like for me, the most incredible thing that running and running long distances has brought into my life is it's really helped me understand who I am and how I deal with everything, you know, every situation. And part of that and understanding who I am is understanding what certain things do to me and then also having the intuition of knowing when I need to make a decision that benefits me versus is something I'm just doing because I think I need to keep getting back out there and training. And so my point in saying this is I totally agree with you, Don. You can't sabotage yourself in pursuit of consistency. But again, it comes down to understanding yourself and getting to know you and your needs and then navigating within that. I think understanding when you're going out and you're just doing junk miles that aren't going to help you versus when you're just not really motivated, but if you get out there, it will be good for you to get out there and run. Figuring out what the difference between those things, I think, is really important. And that will help to prevent you from that sabotage. And when you just, you know, need to take a rest day, take a rest day, as opposed to thinking that you're lazy.
I'll tell you when I thought of that sentence and wrote it down, and you inspired me, Adam, when you said, I decided not to run AR50, the 50-mile race. It wasn't the right time for me. And I thought, you know, that's so brilliant. There's some maturity there. That's some experience, knowing that if I just get out there so I'm consistent with my plan, I could end up ruining myself or sabotaging, you know, for my big race. And so I just wrote down what you said, but I just, you know, made a new sentence out of it. But you really, that was such a wise statement to decide, you know, I'm not going to go to that race. It's because in the end, it's not going to serve me well. I'll find something to substitute it at a better time.
I'm going to jump in real quick and because I haven't said what helped me in consistency from a selfish point of view.
Sorry.
And a lot of this comes from, you know, recent history. Don moved away from the area, and so we weren't accountability partners. And I had to do a lot of running on my own. It was during COVID, and so a lot of running was on my own. And because I didn't have an accountability partner, one of the things I did was I hired a coach. And to your point, Adam, for me, that was really beneficial because I had to report back, did I do the workout or didn't I? The other thing that I've learned is the variability and anticipation of the next day's workout is very important for me to remain consistent. If I'm not thinking about tomorrow's run and what I'm supposed to be doing, so that helped with a coach to say, tomorrow's run is 2 miles easy, some hill repeats, and then 2 miles recovery. That's a specific workout. And I can think about that and anticipate it and get excited about it. And so I'm thinking about it as I'm leading into the evening and into getting up in the morning. I know what that's going to be. That's helped me with consistency. If I'm not thinking I need to go out and do the same thing over and over every day, that to me gets boring, and I'm not anticipating the workout. And I just think, I did that yesterday, I'm going to take a day off. And then the third thing is I put it now in my work schedule on the calendar. I block out some time so that everybody I work with knows that time is blocked out. They can't overbook my meetings. I can always shift it around if I need to. But if I go the week before and block out my week and make sure the runs are on my calendar, then I don't have an excuse. My calendar doesn't fill up and I go, oh, guess what? Tomorrow's too busy. I can't get my workout in. So those are the three things that I've helped. I'm not perfect. I still miss my runs. Guess what? Today, I didn't get my run in. And I keep telling myself, and maybe you guys can convince me and help me be accountable. I keep telling myself I'm going to go out this afternoon and run. But I'm not very confident that's going to happen.
Well, to that point, Scott, I think, one, it's important to always have a little leeway with ourselves. You know, if like I said, I like to tell some of my athletes that if life gives you a rest day, take a rest day, you know, but then also if, you know, it's again, it's important to kind of evaluate what's happening. So if you're somebody who is training and 2 times a week or whatever, let's call it 2 times a week, you're missing a workout or, you know, not running on a certain day, then maybe you need to reevaluate whatever the plan is and modify that or change it, because clearly that's not working and it's probably just causing more stress, right, making you feel like you're getting behind. And I generally, it's funny, I've had to teach myself this and then in turn teach this to my athletes. But sometimes I'll have, kind of like what you said before, Scott, I'll have an athlete miss a workout on a day, and then the sort of typical reaction is, how can I fit this in later in the week? And what I try to get across to everyone that I coach is, you know what, that day is over. So if you miss the workout, let's move on to the next day. Don't try to make this up later. Now let's move on and get back on the plan.
Okay, Scott, now that was Adam who's standing on your right shoulder. All right, this is me standing on your left shoulder. Put your shorts on, tie your shoes, and get out there and run around the block at least once. What's wrong with you?
One is better than none, Freeman. One is better than none.
That's the beauty of it, though, is it's not linear. You know, it takes time to figure these things out and how to work through them and to understand when you're selling yourself short or not, you know, not giving enough, and when you really need to listen to what your body's telling you.
Well, like I said, I'm not perfect with consistency. I need to accept that. But one thing that I'm going to implement going forward, and this is my commitment to you, you're my accountability partners, is I'm going to use, I do have a copy right here of Chasing Twilight. Adam was kind enough to send Don and me a copy. And it's really, really good. We've talked about it in the past. And I started using it, but I wasn't consistent. So my goal is to be consistent at keeping a journal and see how that's going to help improve my consistency and the joy that I get from running. So that's my commitment to you too.
And to prove that, I'll do the same. And what we'll do, Adam, is the next time you're on, we'll flip through on the camera and show you the ink on the pages. How's that?
I love it.
It's easy to say.
Ooh.
It's easy to say. Yeah.
Now I'm really, you just really committed me, Freeman.
No, but again, guys, it's, you guys, everyone knows the trail magic, trail angels, all the different things that, you know, that happen on our runs, whether it's training or in races. What journaling more frequently has done for me is reminded me of those cool things. Sometimes they happen in the moment. You're like, wow, that was incredible. You know, you meet somebody that knew someone that you knew, or, you know, some kind of weird connection. And then you sort of forget about it. But if you, you know, write a little blurb about it, then you can go back and say, oh yeah, that's right. That was so cool that that happened. And it's just a cool way to reflect on all the wonderful things that we experience as runners.
Do you go back and reread your old journals, Adam?
Yeah, I do. I mean, not like from time to time, I'll just say, you know what, let's go and flip through some. And and yeah, it's honestly, like that is, for me, that is even more valuable than writing it in the moment, is the going back later and saying, that's right, that was really cool that that happened. I had forgotten about that story, you know?
And you get to see, I think, by going back and reading, you get to see this long, slow progress. And you can say, I can't believe that you know, that 1 mile run with some hills on it was so hard. Now I can go and do an 8 mile run fairly effortless. I think it's probably good to look at the long-term overall success of what consistency does.
Absolutely. That's what, one of the things that I mentioned before we hit record was sometimes I have the tendency to sort of misremember old years or old training blocks where I felt like everything went right and there weren't any, you know, blips along the way. And in recording and kind of giving more context to it, a lot of times for myself, at least, I've seen that, oh yeah, you know, this little injury I'm dealing with that I've worked through, I had something similar a year or two ago. I just, it's been a couple of years and I forgot that happened, you know? So we have, a lot of us have short-term memory for better or for worse when it comes to training and races. And it's good to kind of get some insight sometimes to realize that this is something you've dealt with before and you can deal with it again.
When it comes time to write in the journal, do you have to come up with the content when the pen is in the hand, or during the run you say, that's my entry? Does it manifest during the run? You go, okay, that's easy. That's going in the journal.
Yeah, that's a great question. For me, I try to do it while on the run mentally, because that's usually when the most interesting things are happening, or when I have those incredible revelations like, whoa, we can solve all the world's problems. Like you've said before, Don, anyone can solve the world's problems when they're out on a trail run, you know?
Hey, Don, you just reminded me an episode that we did from a book called The Power of Moments, and the idea of a peak end. And Adam, you kind of mentioned that. We remember the peaks and we remember the ends, and sometimes we forget some of the low points. And that's a great point to do a journal, is it helps you remember the whole process and maybe some of the bad things were happening. So if you do, you know, have a little niggle or a little bit of an injury, to go back and read your journal and say, this is how I got through that. I forgot that I had PF 5 years ago and now I'm dealing with it again. How did I get through that? And so I think that's a good point too.
Yeah. Use the journal as a map, you know.
Yeah.
You've got your previous history. You can use that to help guide to a smarter future.
Well, Scott, if I was a little more clever, I would come up with a peak ending right now, but I'm just not that clever. And so, Adam, it's always, always so much fun to have a discussion with you and just kind of come up with a word and talk through it. We literally didn't have, well, maybe people know this now, they've listened to the whole thing. You know, we didn't have a lot coming into this thing, but we just knew. We just knew this was an important topic, and you're a creative guy that can share your experiences and we can learn from you. So thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I always appreciate coming on here. And now that you're back in the area, Don, the three of us got to go for a run and we can we can really get the ideas flowing.
We'll bring that portable digital recorder that we bought 12 years ago, Don, and we'll record an episode. Hey, we've said this before, but I want to be sincere in this request. Listeners, if you have any comments or any tricks or struggles that you're going through with consistency, we would love to hear about it. You know, what issues are you going through? What are some tricks that you have used to overcome and become more consistent in your training? I want to know. So please leave a comment in the podcast, or you can email us, Scott or Don at trailrunnernation.com, or post it on social media. We'd love to hear what helps you become more consistent and what are the advantages and fruits of consistency that you've had in your life.
Adam, do you have any room for any additional people that you can coach, or are you filled up? What does that look like if somebody wanted to join your team?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of close to my usual capacity, but I'm always open to, at the very least, chatting with someone and giving, you know, my feedback and advice. So please, if someone is considering hiring a coach, absolutely reach out. And if it doesn't work out that we can work together, I can point you in the right direction, or at least give you, you know, my thoughts on how it could benefit you. I've always been a big believer that two heads are better than one. And if it's something that you're motivated to get better at, and you have the finances to make it happen, I think it's definitely a good call. So absolutely get in touch.
We'll link that in the show notes. It's Running on Dirt Coaching, but we'll include the link in the show notes as well as your personal webpage. And a link to where you can go get Chasing Twilight, a joy journal for runners. If you heard me say that, you can probably just have Siri look it up on the internet and you can find it on Amazon. But I'll include a link for those who like to read the show notes. I'll do that for you.
I do. I love reading those, Scott.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. So go out and run.
Mas. And now we've reached the end of the podcast, really the finish line, Scott, where we give high fives as we're coming through the big arch. And we're going to thank our executive producer and editor, Ryan Warr.
And our social media guru, Yana Gibalova.
And our website graphic engineer, Katie Burke.
We also want to thank the Patreon supporters. If you want to become one, you can go to our website, hit the support us tab, and you can sign up on our Patreon channel.
We have an exciting give back program, Scott, where last quarter, we gave a $25 gift certificate to UCAN, and this quarter, $25 to Path Project. Spend it any way you want. Go to their website and go shopping.
We also want to thank our business Patreon member, Doug Crumley. Doug Crumley is a coach for your finances. He is a private wealth advisor with Crumley & Associates, which is a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC. When you have the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Visit him at www.dougcrumleyjr.com.
Scott, we mentioned the deals page quite often. That's on our website, trailrunnernation.com. And we've made a lot of changes there, and we're really proud of it.
There's a lot of information there. Of course, there's the deals page where you can get all sorts of discounts on gear that we love and trust. We also have all of our other podcasts. We also have the Training Principles link. So we just started the Training Principles episodes at the beginning of this year. All those are kind of organized in one area. So if you're just getting into trail running and want to know the basics of where to start, go to the Training Principles tab. You can also sign up for our newsletter. We don't fill your mailbox full of junk every week or twice a week. Only when there's important things to happen, you'll also be notified when a new podcast hits the air.
So go to trailrunnernation.com.